Governance City Council Committee meeting of June 19, 2019. Mayor Nuremberg.
Here.
Councilmember Trevino.
Here.
Councilmember Villagran.
Here.
Councilmember Saldana. And Councilmember Sandoval. Here. Mayor, we do have a quorum.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our City Council Governance Committee meeting. The time is 11:41. For the record, I'd like the clerk to note Councilman Saldana's case of senioritis. He will be here, but he's running a little late. We're going to take it in order because we do have an extended executive session to be a discussion, so we'll go ahead and take items in order, starting with item two.
Approval of the minutes for the City Council Governance Committee meeting of March the 20th.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's a motion and a second for approval of the City Council Governance Committee meeting minutes of March 20th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two.
Item number two is a briefing and discussion of a council consideration request from Councilmember Elias to review and discuss baby changing station requirements, and this will be presented by Mike Shannon.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. So, very simply, this council consideration request came in April, where Councilman Elias has asked us to look at our city's plumbing codes and building codes and possibly requiring baby changing stations in public restrooms, and it's not a requirement right now. There are some federal laws for federal buildings that went into effect recently, but not really in our code right now. So what we will do is we would put a little task force together. I think we all have some of those examples of changing poopy diapers in the challenging places. I know my kids, we had some different stories. I talked to my wife about my day today. So we'll put together a task force with some of our stakeholders to see if we want to have that conversation to change our code. So then we would take it to the appropriate committee, the council subcommittee, and we'd see if we want to change chapter 10 of our code. So that's what we're proposing.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Councilman Flies is here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I wanted to mention to you two things. One, in drafting this, we did reach out and get support from the Hotel Association and the Restaurant Association. Everybody supported this. Thank you to the Real Estate Council for also agreeing that this is an important thing. And number two, it seems like a small thing, but for those of us that are dads, all of us do remember having to change our baby's diapers in parking lots. And I think it's from an equity perspective, this is the right thing to do. So I appreciate y'all's support. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Flies. Councilman Bigren.
Do we need a motion on this, or are you just bringing us to say where it's going to go?
I think a motion to allow us to proceed and go forth.
So I have one question. Who's going to be a part of this task force?
So really, it's kind of what we do when we have any of our building-related
right.
codes. So
okay.
We work with our real estate community, our associations. We work with our building and fire code construction board. Whenever there's a code change, we get some of them together. Whoever's interested, we'll invite them to be part of it. But some of the organizations that the council has already addressed. Because, again, it's a good idea, but we just want to make sure we don't have any unintended consequences for those staffers.
Well, Mayor, I think it's high time that we do have this conversation and development for having everybody doing their due diligence in the right place and aboard the kids. So I make a motion to approve this and take it to the appropriate council committee when needed.
Second.
There's a motion and a second for approval of item number two. And any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mike. Item three.
Item three is a briefing and discussion of a council consideration request from Councilwoman Gonzalez and Councilman Elias on domestic violence and intimate partner violence comprehensive strategy to be presented by Dr. Bridger.
Good afternoon. I have three handouts for you. Going to be talking from this one, which is the fact sheet. So basically, there was a CCR introduced by Councilman Gonzalez, Councilman Pelayas, that requested a comprehensive domestic violence prevention, education, and response strategy for the city. In response to that CCR, we have worked and created the framework that you see in front of you that I did preview at the E session last week, but basically reflects the fact that this needs to be a comprehensive response that focuses on prevention as well as response. And so you can see by representing it in a triangle, the expectation is that we would be investing more resources in the prevention areas of domestic violence than we would in actually responding to each of these events. So the process that we're going to be using is taking this framework in mind. We've already started surveying existing providers of these services, and that's what this second handout is it puts it into the different categories. So you can see this first page is all of the programs that we're aware of so far, and we're still okay, I don't know if anybody wants to give anybody any grief about that. There's a little bit of grief before you walked in, Councilman, so
oh, yeah, I have an excuse. Senior, I just Walsh does not
know. Oh.
Sorry, Wes.
So we are in the process of completing this document, which will put all of the different programs and services that are being offered throughout the city. So this is not just the city funded. This is the entirety of the response. Putting them into the appropriate category. So again, here, this is just the start, but you can see here's what we're doing around prevention. The next page is secondary prevention. The next page is the acute response. And then the last page is that tertiary response, or what are we doing with people after they've finished with the court system and need additional support. So that's what we're starting with. We're working very closely with the Bexar County Domestic Violence Task Force and all of the stakeholders involved in that task force to make sure that as a first step, we have a good inventory of what's currently happening. Then we will apply this framework to that inventory. And again, working with stakeholders, including victims of domestic violence, we will identify gaps or areas that need to be shored up, and that will form the basis of the comprehensive plan that we put together. So the comprehensive plan will contain an inventory of everything that we're doing. And again, I believe it was last week, Councilman Pelayas was interested in what are we doing from a policy perspective. And you can see one of the categories that we're looking at is, are they working on policy or direct services? So we'll have that in our inventory. And we'll be able to put that comprehensive plan together. On the back of the primary handout, you see the timeline. It's a very expedited timeline that has us working with our community partners to really kind of put this plan together. We will give that plan, including any budget ramifications, to the city manager in July. And then we will be presenting the plan itself to City Council when they return in August. So that's a high-level overview of where we are and what we plan to do in response to the CCR. Another one of the handouts that you also got at the B session, but just wanted to make sure you had it again, is these are the dollars currently expended by the city around domestic violence. We also included child abuse prevention activities because we know that being a victim of child abuse puts you at higher risk for becoming a perpetrator of domestic violence. So I'm happy. happy to answer questions or...
Thank you, Dr. Bridger. This was introduced by Councilman Gonzalez and Councilman Wise, who are here. Councilman, would you like to...
Is it appropriate to ask questions now, or is it, are you just having...
However you'd like. I do want, well, Andy, because we have a council forum now.
Sure.
Oh, wait. Okay. So if I need to stop,
yes,
you
right.
Stop. But I guess some of the concerns I have is that I see some organizations are not listed.
This is not complete. This is just an example of what we're doing. The complete document will be in July.
Okay, so, okay. And I, so that might explain why, you know, some are not listed on this comprehensive, like, for example, on this page, you don't have family violence prevention services. I'm sorry, that's right. Okay. I do see it now. But I family services is not listed, and they run.
So again, we're still vetting this. This I just wanted you to see concretely what it will look like. This is not complete.
Okay. Well, great. I think this is definitely, I know, one of the first steps. So I do. You'll stop me if I go out of bounds. Just I'm thankful to Councilman Pelais for. Elaborating on what the work that we were talking about. I think that because we worked together, we put together a better program than I think either one of us would have done individually. So I'm grateful for his cooperation and really looking forward to this. This is the first time that I feel like we've done anything like this before. I know I tried to do some pilots just in my district, but I feel like we are headed in the right direction, and I look forward to supporting these issues in our retreat in a few more days for the policy, for budget. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Gonzalez. Councilman
Wise. Thanks. I'll remind you that we work with a sense of urgency on very important issues. And my hope is that with the same urgency that we worked on the Alamo, for example, that we treat this with the same seriousness. And, you know, if I were to tell you that there was one more task force out there, I would remind you that there is a task force of 28 women who are no longer alive. So 28 women who died in 2018 because we didn't have a comprehensive plan. Maybe some of them would be here if we had done more. I think we owe it to them and their kids to be better, and this is the first step. And thank you all for your support.
Thank you, Councilman Pelais. Questions from colleagues? Councilman Samuel.
Thank you to both council persons for putting this forward. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction, and you're right, Councilman, when you say we've got a strategy for a lot of things, and this certainly is worthy of having one. So the document, sorry, the memo tells us there's a timeline, and I think you went over it briefly, but there's no written timeline in here, is there?
It's on the back of that. It's on the back.
Is it? Okay, thank you. What I'd like to request, Mayor, and I'm not sure what the right way of going about this is, so in early this decade, the city adopted a series of goals, and it was called SA 2020. And I mentioned this in our last BSET or one of our B-sessions. We have clung very hard to one of the goals of SA 2020, and it's about building housing units downtown with a sense of urgency, like, you know, our city's going to die, right, if we don't have 7,500 units. And now that we've got 7,500 units, we need 2,500 more. That is what I want to see as we go forward with this plan. So can we readopt or renew the goal that was in SA 2020 or even stretch further? And I'd love to hear the councilman's comments on that.
May I ring the bell?
Excuse me, councilman.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's issues of us having a full council forum right now.
Okay.
So that's what Andy's talking about.
Oh, okay. I can't say, was that your intention when you wrote your CCR?
You can say whatever you want. I'm not sure.
Let me make a statement. Let me make a statement, and then you can take it however you want to. I've reviewed the SA 2020 plan, Dr. Bridger. I think the word domestic violence appears once in that 1,000-plus page document, and appears as an appendix.
SA 2020?
I'm sorry, the Tomorrow Plan. In the SA Tomorrow Plan, it appears once. In the SA 2020 plan, it appears a little bit more often. But beefing up either of those two plans and using those as constructs on how to move forward is certainly prudent, since those are proved out as having worked and those are already vetted by the community. So just fitting it into that, and adding it to that skeleton and that structure might just be exactly what you said.
Maybe it's a question for Eric and some of the team. So, Eric, when we talk about, and this was right before you took over, I think when we voted on our new CSHIP policy, then we were driven by the fact that we had this goal. How is it that that was the only SA 2020 goal that we would continually discuss it? Is that really by direction of the council? Because if it is, then let's change that direction so we talk about the other ones, specifically the domestic violence.
I think it goes to your point, Councilwoman, earlier that, and using the downtown housing as an example. But I think it points to the larger issue of practically setting a goal to achieve X, and then monitoring and reporting and ingraining that into whatever the effort is. And in this case, with domestic violence or IPV, that's part of the development of a framework and a plan. And I think it's incumbent upon us, and it'll be part of the group discussions with stakeholders and internal groups, that what is the goal and how long do we think it's going to take us? We set the flag in the ground and then report it and monitor.
Okay, so could that be one of the things that's in the timeline, is that we come back with, that when you do report back, you come with some goal?
Well, that's part of the comprehensive plan.
Part of the plan.
Let me also answer the question. I think that it speaks to what Councilman Gonzalez was saying. This is the first time in our city's history, certainly since SA 2020, that we have taken ownership of the piece regarding domestic violence. I think to the larger point, though, of urgency, we're behind all of the SA 2020 metrics. We have not done that as a council, maybe but for housing and maybe a couple of other things. I think that it makes a whole lot of sense for us to do this on domestic violence, but there's probably a dozen or so others. And perhaps, Eric, this is when we actually execute on the idea that we discussed during your process about devoting some time or even sessions of city council to resolutions passed by the council to affirm some of these metrics during SA 2020 that may not be part of SA Tomorrow or any other comprehensive plan.
All right, so I'd like to move, and it's not clear what the motion is here, move to enable staff to establish a comprehensive strategy to address domestic violence and intimate partner violence.
Okay, there's a motion and a second for approval of item number 3. Any further councilman?
Thank you. I want to thank my council colleagues for making this their priority, putting this forward with our comprehensive strategy here and this framework. Thank you for the work already done so far with this framework, because it's now giving us what we need in order to start setting those metrics to see how we can bring put education and prevention up and decrease the acute response that's needed, because that's what's important. Where do you, and forgive me if you said this, where do you see this going? What committee do you see this working through? Community health?
My recommendation, and I discussed this with Councilman Sandoval, is community health and equity. That would be my recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Biergrant. Councilman Salam.
Thank you, Mayor. And my hat off to Councilwoman Gonzalez and to Councilman Elias. If there's any male in this city who is as passionate about the issue is the son of Marcopolis, because I'm sure that they share a number of stories that can be harrowing in their telling. But I'm glad that this council has Councilor Pelias and Councilor Collins, and of course, seeing a majority of women council coming in to speak to this issue. I just want to ask a question that maybe is more of a suggestion as I'm thinking how this interacts with the world around us, because it seems that many people, by virtue of our discussions as elected officials talking about it, has raised the consciousness of this issue in San Antonio. And what it's uncovered is, you know, we have a betrayal very badly in a statistic that is affecting a lot of people in our city. So if they're looking at this wondering and scratching their heads saying, well, what is going to be done about it that I might actually be able to use as a tool if I or a loved one finds themselves in this situation? And I'm just taking a shot in the dark here, but is there an opportunity for these women when they are reporting these issues to do so with a form of anonymity? And maybe that's with the Battered Women's Shelter or any one of the nonprofits. But it's really easy. If your house is on fire, what I do is I call 911. There's plenty of sense of understanding within the community knowing who to call on that issue. But I don't know where folks might end up if they want to do so, report it, and then go come into a clearinghouse that ultimately might lead them to one of these nonprofits, but to do so anonymously. And is that a discussion? Is that something that already exists? I'm maybe naive to it.
So you're a little farther ahead than we are, but I can say that an important component of our work is to talk to survivors of domestic violence to help us figure out what they need this plan to address. So I think that they may be on the same page with you, Councilman, in suggesting some sort of ombudsman or hotline or something like that we can incorporate into the plan.
And thank you, Dr. Green, for taking this up. And we may go out there, ask the question, and realize that the wheel has already been invented on this, and we don't need to recreate it. And
right.
Then at that point, then it's just an education campaign. And so I certainly think we have a lot of experts in this city, not the least of which are folks like Michael Pelias and the heads of nonprofits who see this campaign. So I just want to offer a quick suggestion or idea about it.
Thank you, Councilman Saldana. Councilman Green.
And I just want to take time to also thank Councilwoman Salas and Councilman Elias for bringing this and asking for support on this and happy to support this. I just want to second the comments that were made about how to measure this and how to report back. So I think when we do a plan, we want to make sure that we try to lay out some of the expectations and report back regularly. So I just want to state that and say, look, I hope these reports can better inform this council to help create some policies that can help protect people in the long run. And measuring it is going to be so important for the outcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Negro.
Just one more thing to the point, something that we had a great conversation yesterday on TPR. Just check out what we're talking about, because one of the things that we wanted to do, what they're going to do there, is keep the status of women reports, do more investigation on these 13 dimensions of this report, and keep them on the forefront. One of the biggest things that he was talking about was on domestic violence, on intimate partner violence, and continuing to have that conversation. We, as a part of this, I would hope to continue to keep this as forefront of our conversation and our thought and our consciousness, even as we work through this stakeholder process and as we work through all of this. I want to make sure it stays at the front of the mind of everyone. And I'm saying that now just because I have this microphone, but then also talking about it on Friday to Mayor as we're looking at our goal-setting sessions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Vigran. I think that's exactly right. And you know, circumstances highlight different issues that we have in the community, and certainly domestic violence has reached a crescendo lately. Our responsibility is to make sure it stays at the volume necessary in the community's awareness to actually get us to do something more significant than what has been done already. You know, there's a lot of agencies that have been doing fantastic work, but the city being able to do the gap analysis and see, find some synergies. Councilman Pelaez and I talked this morning about interagency communications and making sure that we're able to, identify victims or crises and see how different agencies are working together, perhaps with the same population. Thank you to our colleagues, Councilwoman Gonzalez and Councilman Pelaez, for bringing that forward. I just want to make sure that we as a body are committing ourselves not letting this drop to the bottom fold of our agenda. I remember my first ride-along as a city councilman, it was a T-ship, it was the overnight ship, and every single call that we made to a house was on a domestic violence call, and that's only increased here in San Antonio, so we need to start getting phone calls through our offices about issues on domestic violence when they occur as a measure of our ability to build community awareness. So thank you, Dr. Bridger, for keeping it high on the agenda, and thank you, my colleagues, for making it happen. There's a motion and a second for approval of item number 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number 4 is a briefing and discussion on the recommendations of the Boards and Commissions Subcommittee of the Governance Committee.
Good afternoon. As you know, Mayor, you appointed 3 council members to oversee the boards and commissions process, the guidelines, and the membership, and to see if they could consolidate or at one point or another look at the boards to see if there was more needed or whatever the recommendations. Those are here today just for the guidelines. So having completed that aspect of their process, we worked with the city attorney's office to come up with the changes to the guidelines that I will present. So the first guideline that will be changed, and if Councilwoman Sandoval would like to say something before I proceed.
So everything that Lisa said is right. I just wanted to add a little bit more context to that. So Mayor, you appointed me to chair a subcommittee of governance on boards and commissions. Councilman Zanaya and Councilwoman Viegra are participating in this process as well. There are a number of things that this subcommittee is reviewing. We're actually very excited about some of the ideas that we've come up with and that we'll bring back. But one of the first things we did was look at basically the admin code. This was, I would say, it was the most exciting thing that's happening in our subcommittee right now. But we reviewed some changes that legal had already been working on in the admin code, but they really needed the subcommittee to do the vetting with them and to bring those forward. So that's one of our first products of the subcommittee. As long as I continue to chair that, I can promise you many, many more products to come out of that. So thank you very much, Leticia.
Thank you, Chair. So the first change is to allow coordination regarding deadlines of applications for at-large boards and commissions with the respective departments. We already do that, but it's not in the code. It's not in the guidelines, so we're adding it. The next item would be the verbiage to the district appointment process and to add the requirement for the Office of the City Clerk to notify the applicant if they are not selected or qualified, and that would be a new item. And just so you know, if they are not selected, we do maintain their application for a period of 1 year, so we will contact them again should an opening come up. Therefore, they would be able to be interviewed again and considered for another opening. The next item would be to add the appointments made to an existing term are for the remainder of the unexpired, such as today with the VIA board appointment. That is for an unexpired term. That's going to be added to the code. The next change is going to be to provide board and commissions the flexibility to use Robert's Rules of Order or a basic parliamentary procedure. And most right now are using a hybrid. So that's going to be added to give them that luxury. We're also going to add that non-voting members do not count when determining a quorum. That is silent right now, so that will be added. Another addition will be to allow council members or at the mayoral discretion for district and at-large appointments, respectively, to remove board members who have missed three board meetings versus an automatic removal. Right now, the code simply says they're automatically removed. We're going to give you that discretion. The next change will be that board members shall not be eligible to serve if they did not attend either the new board member orientation with their department or the Municipal Leadership Institute. And as you know, Mayor, we had an MLI last Friday. We had a full house. Eric, you were there as well. And thank you for being there. They really enjoyed your piece. But this will make them attend. If they fail to do so, they will be removed. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion here. We are going to record live the Municipal Leadership Institute in this very room on July 25th. That way we can post that online, because this day and age, it's very difficult for some people to actually make one of the two MLIs that we hold throughout the year. That way we can post that online. That training will all be online. And we've talked to Innovation, and they're going to assist us with keeping track of who has viewed it. So therefore, we'll be able to offer that for those that cannot attend in person. And if that's okay with you today, we will proceed in that manner. The next change will be to allow replacement of appointees to be achieved by appointment of a new appointee, and it eliminates the need for an ordinance unless it's required by other law. So this also gives you discretion. And last but not least, the Board and Commission reports shall be provided to you upon request, which is currently the way we are handling. So those are the changes that are being proposed by the committee at this time. And as Chair of the committee, Sandoval, mentioned, this is just for the administrative code piece.
So we are looking for a motion to advance the changes to the VC code to the full council. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we'll entertain a motion to that event.
Before I make the motion, I apologize, I just caught this one thing right now. When you said on the last item that the reports will be provided upon request, I don't believe it should be any less than every year. So I think we may lose the ability to, you know, if we're not requesting it, then they're not doing it. So I want to make sure we have some language for that. Could I move to approve with that modification?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I move to approve with that modification.
There's a motion to second for approval of the Boards and Commissions Code edits. We will keep our conversation to just that code. Councilman.
So just for my colleagues, and the changes are there in our document too, unless you have some more questions on this. And it is, we have a lot more coming, so we're very excited. Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify, Councilman, your changing language to say it will be on an annual basis or upon request.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any further conversation about the code? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Do you have a second part of the
Item number 5 is review of applicants to the Via Metropolitan Transit Authority Board of Trustees, one slot.
There is one slot available, as you know, on the Via Board. 32 applications were received and vetted through our city attorney's office. Mayor, you sent out an email to everyone suggesting that each of you provide 4 names to be vetted and reviewed today. And those that are in fact nominated would then come back in August, August the 21st, for an official interview before you. This again is for an unexpired term of office that will expire December 2019. These are two-year terms. They can serve a total of 8 terms.
Okay, great. To note for the record, Councilman Saldana has refused himself from this conversation. He's nominated as the chair-elect. Are there any questions about what we're going to do before we recess into executive session? We're looking to narrow down the pool of applicants for interviews that will convene in August. Okay. All right, the time is now 12:16 p.m. on this 19th day of June 2019, pursuant to the authority granted by Chapter 551 of the Texas Government Code, the TCS, Texas Open Meetings Act, Governance City Council Committee will now recess into executive session to discuss and deliberate the appointment of the board members pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074 personnel matters. Okay, so anyone?
For RBM Metropolitan Transit Authority Board trustees. It is only one slot, so we had a lot of looks that we had to do. I'd like to make a motion to bring back to Governance Committee for interviews on August 21st, Jordan Gowie, Erica Gonzalez, Michelle Legalia Holland, Athali Malone, and Judy Trevino.
I hear a motion.
Second.
Okay, I hear a motion and a second for selection of applicants to be brought to the Governance Committee on August 21st for interviews and final appointment to a board appointment, board seat that will expire at the end of December, filling the unexpired term of Patricia Rodriguez. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. That's everything on our agenda today. We are